Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 2-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you.
When you're faced with a diagnosis of cancer, it changes a lot of things. It changes your perspective on life and how you want to do things. And sometimes it even makes you follow your dream. And that's just what happened with our next guest. Meet Joe Bacall, a Hodgkin's lymphoma survivor who decided to trade in his job for testing cars for Toyota and become a Baja race driver. And not only that, but he gives back to the cancer community as well. How are you today, Joe?
I'm doing well, Mel. How you doing?
Great. So I want to start with your story about how you found out about cancer. Then we're going to go into what else you do, which is very exciting to me.
That's exciting to me, too. So
so tell me about how you found out you had cancer.
You know, that's obviously a scary point in your life, and no one wants to hear those words. But, you know, I was in Las Vegas, actually, at an automotive convention called the SEMA Show. Some people may be familiar with that. And, you know, I just was walking around probably 3 days of the show, just really, that alone gets you tired, but I was really run down. I had just zero energy, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, after I got back, I just went to the doctor, and it kind of went from there. So
they took a blood test, and they found out you had Hodgkin's lymphoma?
Well, actually, to back up a little bit, I went to my primary doctor, and they thought I had thyroid issues, so they gave me medicine for that. I had a hard time breathing, and they gave me some medicine for that, and I'm like, okay, they're just kind of putting Band-Aids on something. They don't even know what's going on. So I went ahead and went to an ear, nose, and throat specialist, and they went ahead and did a scan and found that I had a tumor in my throat and another tumor in my lungs, which was pushing against my lung, which why I was having a hard time breathing. And then once they did the biopsy and all that, they basically found out that I did have Hodgkin's lymphoma.
And how long ago was that?
That was in November of 2006, and I started treatment the first week of basically January 1st of 2007. I was at CTCA.
Happy New Year! And so, what did you have for treatment?
I had, I can't remember the name of them now. That it's been a while, but basically the 4 or 5 months of the chemotherapy that basically treats Hodgkin's lymphoma. And then I did that every other week in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. So I jump on a plane from Phoenix, you know, get my chemo, get my chemo, whatever I needed to do, and see my doctor. And then I was back on a plane and drooling on myself on the way home. So that was that's what I did for a good four and a half months. And I did 3 weeks of radiation every single day after I got back to work, believe it or not. So I'd go slide cars around at a test track. And I'd go to the doctor, get my round of get my radiation. Then I'd head back to work in the morning. So it was all good, though.
How did you manage to keep up your stamina? Because I know that chemo and radiation made me super tired. And you get on a plane. I can't even imagine that.
Well, I was off work. Fortunately, I worked for corporate Toyota, and they just basically said, whatever you need to do, you do. And I took the time off. I took about, it was over 4 months. I think I went back. I was off work, obviously, first week of January, and didn't go back to work until middle of April, I think. But the good thing is, you know, the radiation and chemo were separate. They didn't give them to me at the same time.
Right.
You know, the chemo obviously was a tough thing, but the great thing about the CTCA is that they counterbalance so much with the natural side of the medicines and just, you know, the vitamins and minerals, the things that your body needs.
Right.
That helped me get through on the chemo side. And then when it comes to the radiation, you know, I use tomotherapy. I mean, I'm not sure if everyone is familiar.
I'm not sure what that is. What is that?
Tomotherapy is just a very pinpoint accurate type of radiation. You know, for years and years, I mean, the traditional way is, you know, radiate this area and have a nice day. Unfortunately, there's so many side effects that it's, you know, that could be, you know, very scary. So We were, when I was at the Cancer Treatment Center of America, I sat down with the radiologist and my oncologist, and we talked about the different types of treatments that are available. And tomotherapy is just cutting edge, and that's pretty much all they use at the Cancer Treatment Center of America. And that's what I told my wife. I'm like, that's what we're using. And we did find one locally here in Arizona, which I thought I was going to have to spend 3 weeks in Tulsa, which as great a place as it is, I wanted to get back to work and do what I do. So
exactly.
I found one here in the Southwest in Phoenix area. And I literally would get up in the morning, 5 a.m, shoot to work, do my, you know, what I needed to do. If it's report writing, presentations, or sliding the car around on a test track, whatever my day was, I was done by noon and I was getting radiation by 1 o'clock every day for 3 weeks. And, you know, the only side effect that I had was just a little bit of suntan on my throat. I mean, I was, you know, yeah, I'm a little bit tired, but my direct manager, when I first got back to work after all my treatments, I mean, those guys didn't know what I was going to look like or how I was going to react or what I could even, if I could even do my job. And the first thing I said to those guys when I sat in my the meeting with my manager, I said, I need to get on the track now. Like, it's kind of like, it was one of those things. I've been behind the wheel for, gosh, I don't know, 4.5 months, and I need to go out and throw a car around and get, you know, back to where I was. And you know what? I didn't miss a beat. It's like riding a bike, and they just said, as long as you're comfortable, we're going to let you do what you do, and it was fine.
So that's awesome. So you were a professional test driver.
Correct, yeah. I was. I worked for corporate Toyota at their proving ground here in Phoenix for over almost 11 years, and I've been doing it for 20 years. I worked for GM, and I worked for Nissan at their test tracks. But, you know, I didn't really start to get to the level where I, you know, pretty much where I'm at now until I started working at Toyota. But, yeah, I mean, pushing cars to the limit, throwing them sideways. I mean, I'm not even paying attention to my driving. I'm focusing on all, you know, what the car's doing. You know, I was in charge of all the Toyota Racing Development suspension packages for Tacoma, you know, FJ Cruiser, Tundra. You know, anything SUV, truck, I was pretty much responsible for all off-road and this and that. So pretty big responsibility, but it was a lot of fun, and I got to, you know, spend a lot of time in Japan and do some great things.
Excellent. So you went through treatment, and you basically said, hand me the keys. I'm ready to go. So how did that take you from test driver, and this is what I really want to know, to Baja racer, off-road racer?
You know, honestly, anyone, and I can tell you because you know exactly what's going on, and you and I are on the same page, is, you know, I was faced with, you know, a life-threatening situation,
yes.
I guess you might say, and as much as I loved my job, and I mean, how do you not like that kind of job? It was crazy, but I had to sit down and really figure out what I want to do in life, and life's short, and I decided to quit my position as, you know, one of the top test drivers at Toyota and open up my own performance driving company where I do stunt driving now. I just did some stuff not too long ago for the show Flash Forward on ABC. And,
excellent.
You know, I'd love to do some more stunt driving. I got my SAG card, but, you know, that's a lot of it is who you know.
Right.
But that was a goal of mine. I've been wanting to do that for years. I did a little bit of stuff for Toyota over the years on the you know, commercial and print work, but I got a taste of it, and I'm like, you know what, I want to do that. So then I also wanted to race, and honestly, being a factory test driver, I didn't have the opportunity to race because of, for one, the liability and all the training and really the dollar amount that they put into me probably wasn't really a good idea for them to let me go out there and race. But,
right.
You know, racing is just what I knew I could do a good, you know, do a great job. And I was trained by the best, you know, Ivan Stewart, everybody knows who he is in off-road racing. And I just needed an opportunity. And that's when I approached the Canship Center America. I approached Lexus, B.F. Goodrich, you know, I mean, all my sponsors. And, you know, me being kind of the new guy, who is this guy? They all knew that I've been doing this a long time, and I probably will do okay. And you know, we went out and won our first race, which was the Baja 500 last year.
That is just amazing that you won your first race.
Well, I mean, you know, Baja, luck does play a role. But, you know, I'm very comfortable behind the wheel. In a situation where something just happens right now, I mean, I don't think about it. It happens naturally for me to throw a car around and transfer the weight and, you know, not get excited. And those are the, you know, you've got to understand how to read terrain. I grew up in the Southwest, you know, mm-hmm. Southern California, you know, Arizona. I mean, I just read lines and things like that. And that's what I did for Toyota for so many years. So this was an easy transition for me. The competitive side, I used to race motocross as a kid, and so I had that, you know, still inside me. I mean, I knew what it was to bump handlebars and, you know, go cartwheeling off a big double jump, and I mean, that was just what I enjoyed to do, you know, what I like to do. So this wasn't too far off, and now this was, you know, now I'm in my element, you know.
Right.
Get me behind the wheel. That's my office.
And I think you and I are the same in the respect of that the athlete's mentality kept us going towards, you know, through treatment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm anyone that knows me, I'm a pretty hyper guy. I mean, I can't sit still for 2 minutes.
I can hear that in your voice, Joe.
Well, part of it is just because, you know, I mean, I used to jet ski in the ocean, hit big wave. I mean, I just like, I wouldn't say danger, but I just like excitement.
Right.
And I like doing things, you know, speed isn't so much, it was like, oh, you must like speed. It's not about speed. To me, it's about the adrenaline, but it's about being in control.
Exactly.
an out of control situation, really. And that, to me, is everything. And that's where the, you know, control amid chaos comes in, because, you know, racing Baja, I mean, I honestly, this last race a couple weeks ago, I almost hit two cars head on, and I almost T-boned a Ford Expedition, which was on the course, shouldn't have been. And I mean, it was just.
So it was like driving in the 405 at rush hour.
I would say, it's not too far off. I was just on that as well. But, you know, you're at night, you got stuff coming at you. It's basically, the best way to describe it is you got somebody shooting at you and you're just dodging bullets. I mean, I hate to say it, but you think about your speed. I mean, on the dry leg bed, I'm at 110 miles an hour, and I don't lift. If I can see, I'm not lifting. And so there's definitely a danger factor there, but people don't realize that this is what I do. This is what I've been doing for so long that it's not scary to me. I mean,
right.
Yeah, it's exciting, and yeah, I get scared sometimes, like, oh, that was close, or, but that's, you know, that's not any different than being at a test track. I mean, you know, you're driving, you know, million-dollar prototypes, and, you know, for one, you got to be careful. You don't want to wreck one, because you got a big problem, but, you know, you're out there drifting those things around, and you're not even paying attention, because you're looking at all your computers and all your measurement and objective data, and, you know, there's just a lot of things that overlap, and, you know, I don't know if I'm going on to a tangent or not.
No, you're not. I mean, we talked before on other shows and just on the phone about how Baja racing is a lot like beating cancer and taking chemo. There's just so much involved that you have no control over. But in the end, I mean, you have to do what you have to do. It is control amid chaos, like your Facebook page is.
Yeah, you know, people, it's so funny, and you totally can relate to this. Anyone that's gone through cancer can relate to this. People are whining and complaining about, I got an interview today, man, that's going to be really hard. Or I've got, you know,
yeah.
I got this presentation that I got to do, and I don't know if I can do it. Well, trust me, you go through cancer, that's like, you know, eating a bowl of ice cream. I mean, it's just nothing compares. And honestly, there's things now that I'll try just about anything that's, you know, in reason. But
right.
Just, you know, I want to live, and I want to just, you know, nothing's really scares me as much as maybe it used to. I mean, I just kind of want to go for it. That's kind of a crazy thing to...
It's not. I mean, I think a lot of cancer survivors have the same feeling. I did a trapeze experience. I was offered to skydive, and I'm not... I get really nauseous, so I didn't do that, but the...
You want to get in a race car?
I do want to get... You know what? Well, I wasn't prepared for the skydiving thing because my friend was going, and they said, oh, do you want to go up? And... Yeah, but if I get in the race car with you, Joe, don't worry. I'm taking my Zofran.
No,
don't
God.
You? No. Don't you worry.
That stuff, I think that stuff made me worse than I don't know, Ativan and Zofran both. I didn't really like it much. I didn't like being not as in control, even though I almost just suck it up, to be honest with you.
Right.
I just feel not great, then take that.
Well, any anti, you know, if you offer me and I'm there to hop in the passenger seat for sure.
You know, real quick, another story about Baja, because it was just,
yes,
fresh in my head.
And for people who don't know, Baja is off-road racing, basically. I mean, how many hours is it usually?
Well, it depends on what classes. I'll explain a little bit about Baja, because, I mean, people,
okay,
especially in Michigan or, you know, on the, you know, east side of the world, at least in the U.S., it's not as popular. I mean, people that follow it really know about it, but... It's kind of like the Indy 500 of off-road racing, and the Baja 1000, that is definitely the race to race. I mean, there's 14 different countries, you know, people all over the world that race this, and there's probably 400 vehicles that are entered. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Baja 1000 starts in Ensenada, Mexico, which is just south of Tijuana, which is just, you know, not too far from San Diego. And, you know, you basically drive to either Cabo San Lucas or La Paz, or they do a big loop, depending on what year it is. This year coming up, we're doing the point-to-point, which is to La Paz, which will be about 1,100 and something miles.
Wow.
But it doesn't stop. There's no breaks. You start the race, and you finish the race about a day and a half later, and that's where the classes come in. I mean, there's trophy trucks which, if you think about a NASCAR engine, this is an 800 horsepower, basically tube framed, you know, $500,000, $600,000 race car with 3 feet of travel, where you can go 140 miles an hour through the desert and not feel a bump.
Wow.
You can imagine, you can't even imagine that, to be honest with you. It's when we had the Discovery Channel, we did our show, Science of the Thrill, and for PBS, and we had the camera guy in the car, and he's like, oh, I've been in the Blue Angels, and I've done this and that. He got in a trophy truck, and he's like, are you kidding? Like, this shouldn't even make sense. Like, it does, it defies physics, you know?
Awesome.
That's extreme. That's obviously somewhere I'd love to be at some point in my life. But right now I race the stock full class, which is a Lexus, which is the first and only Lexus factory-supported team in the world. So that's a cool thing. And we're leading the points championship by 100 right now. We've gotten two firsts and one second this year. We've got two more races to go in the season. But that's a pretty cool thing, being
that
sort of
cool.
The rookie still. And my truck literally has, you could go to the dealership, we race the Lexus LX570. So you go to the dealership, you buy an $85,000 car, which I don't know if I'd ever buy that. It's pretty expensive, but a beautiful car, don't get
yes.
me wrong. But it's the stock drivetrain. You know, motors, nothing's touched the motor. Transmission's the same, differential's the same. The only thing that's done to it is the interior's gutted out. It's full roll cage, you know, basically all tech for safety, you know, race seats and harnesses and everything. And then, you know, we've got suspension, which about, I've got about 12 inches of travel, which isn't a ton, but, you know, that's all you're really allowed. You're only limited to what you can get out of the stock lower and upper A-arms.
Right.
And then you've got a tire and a wheel, and that's it. So it's truly a driver's class. I mean, you get a trophy truck driver in one of my vehicles, and he's probably going to, you know, cartwheel thing into the weeds in no time because he's used to just going over anything, or she. So
right.
It's really a driver's class, and I think that's why I excel in this particular class, because of that. And that's what I'm used to driving at the test tracks when I was there, you know, testing 6 inches of travel. So,
wow.
Does that answer part some of your question?
That does answer my question. I mean, I know we had talked about Baja, but like I said, I know that NASCAR is pretty popular, and I went to my first NASCAR race, and I think I texted you
yep.
and our good friend, Kristen Shaner, and I said, all these left turns, I said, Joe could beat these people any day of the week. I mean,
if you notice, I emailed you, and I said, there's two people that I guarantee I can't beat, and
right.
one is Robbie Gordon, who's top trophy truck. He's like he's running number one plate, you know, because he won the championship last year. And then Jimmy Johnson actually came from the dirt. So those two guys, I guarantee, can do what they need to do in the desert. But, I mean, Robbie Gordon will run circles around any of those guys, you know, in NASCAR, Indy. I don't care who it is. I mean, Robbie Gordon grew up in the desert. You know, his dad is a famous off-road racer. So, you know, but off-road racing is, you know, I think driving, when you just look at the vehicle dynamics side of it, and then just driving itself, at least as a pro driver, I can jump in a car, I can jump in the dirt, I can jump in the snow. It doesn't really matter because it's all technique, and it's,
right.
you just get it. Once you learn all that stuff, I mean, I've been to the racing schools, I've done all that stuff, and I mean, I think some of you may have seen the commercial that I shot for the Ken Shipman Center of America in that Lexus ISF doing some drifting on a racetrack in Tulsa, which, you know, it's cool. So I like being all over the place and being able to do whatever whatever's asked, and that's where I do video shoots, and I do, like I said, stunt driving and commercials and all that. You've got to be able to just step up and do what's asked.
Exactly. Now, how did your wife Teresa feel when you said, I'm quitting my job? I mean, obviously you talked about it, but how did she feel when you said, you know what, this is what I want to do? I've stared death in the face, as we do, you know, face our own mortality as cancer survivors. How did she react?
You know, people have no idea. I mean, I call her Wonder Woman because, and for one, she's a black belt, which she can probably hurt most people, but that's a whole other story. But, you
know
she's owned her own company for 15 years. And, you know, one of the dilemmas we've always had was, okay, I've got two and a half weeks a year of vacation. That's it, you know.
Right.
Where are we going to go? And, I mean, we had to figure out my vacation down to the hour, pretty much. And she's like, you know what? Once I went through what I went through, she's like, you know, we kind of talked about it before I even got cancer. You know, it's like, you know, is this really where you want to be for the next 20 more years?
Right.
You know, and then you'll be 60, you know, whatever, retire, and then what are you going to do? So she's definitely more of, you know, run your own company. You know, you're only going to make yourself money, and no one else money. But, you know, you definitely have that risk when you open your own small business. And I knew that. But you know what? When you're good at what you do, and that's what she told me, she's like, you know, you wouldn't be where you're at if you didn't know what you were doing. And you know what? You'll do fine. And it's been good. I mean, it was slow at first, you know, with the economy and things change. But I've been building some great, you know, clients. I just was just in L.A. in Torrance doing some testing for a suspension company. So the good thing is I don't have all my eggs in one basket. I mean, if it's a stunt driving, if it's print commercial, if it's testing, if it's, you know, whatever it is, you know, if it's a media press event, you know, Teresa runs her own company. It's basically called Mission Possible, and it's an event company where she does corporate meetings and events for, she can do expos. I mean, awesome. She used to do the V-Twin Expo in Cincinnati, which was 10,000 people per day. I mean, she ran the whole thing.
Wow.
Her company. So she can do huge events, and she's in Japan as we speak right now with Toyota on a press event that they're, she's actually at the test track where I used to test in Japan, which is crazy ironic. But
I know, so she told me to check up on you guys, actually.
Well, if she knows, to be honest, I mean, I can barely get out of bed without help nowadays. But, you know, I don't want to talk about my personal life.
Well, that's what we're doing. And I also want to know, I know you do a lot of things with the Cancer Treatment Centers of America. It wasn't the hospital that I went to, but through yourself and a few other people, I've gotten to know more and more about it. Tell me about when you go visit with the truck and when the other survivors see you and what kind of experience that is.
You know, I did that not too long ago down here in Arizona at the CTCA hospital. And, you know, it was pretty neat because I went up and talked, obviously, about what I had going on. But until you actually see the car in person, and I think the greatest thing about it is, you know, I'm not any different than any other cancer survivor, and I'm not saying I am. But what's great about it is you see the side of the truck says Cancer Treatment Centers of America. I mean, they're my title sponsor, so it's my whole truck's wrapped with the Cancer Treatment Center of America logos and things. But then it says cancer survivor next to my name, next to an American flag, you know, as the driver. And I think people go, wow, you know, that's pretty cool. And I mean, anybody can hire a professional driver to race a car. I mean, that's easy. But when the driver was an actual patient at that actual hospital that is slammed on the side of the door, I think that really touches people. And I can honestly tell you, at the races, every single race I race, I always get somebody comes up to me and pulls me to the side, or you know, wants to talk to me, and they're teared up, and they just, hey, my brother just found out he had cancer, and you know, and whatever's on their mind, I don't care what they want to talk about, I'm going to make the time and talk to them.
Exactly.
And just say, hey, what do you want to talk about? And I've done it. I've had stuff going on where it's crazy busy with autographs, whatever's going on, and I'm like, you know, I'll be there in a second. And I sat down and talked to somebody, and it just, you know, you can relate to them. And
yes.
They need to know that they, you know, you're just not a, you know, a stick figure, and you're not just some of those guys that just, you know, blow them off or whatever. You're real. You've been there. You've done that. And it's my job to kind of help others. And, you know, whatever I can do, if I can help one person, hey, it makes me feel really, really good. And I'm very fortunate to be where I'm at. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for a lot of things. And, you know, Dr. Shrestha at the Cancer Center of America, I mean, she's an amazing doctor. And, you know, she saved my life more than once, I can tell you that. And she's, you know, those are the people that is where I'm at today, and the support from the Cancer Center of America, believing in what I have to offer, as well as Lexus and the other sponsors that I'm working with. So,
I hear you. I mean, obviously, I'm not a race driver, but when I go to Relay for Life or any of these events that I do here, people come up to me because I am on the radio, and they, you know, they tell me their story as well. And it's just like you said, if you can just help one person, and you know, I don't even have to know that I did. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. Well, and there's a lot of times, most of the times you don't.
Right.
It could be from one person to the next person to the next person. You don't even realize you made that connection.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, it's just one thing that I actually was just in Tulsa. Believe it or not, I raced the Baja 500. I got home on Sunday, which I was completely wiped out because I didn't get done until the race until Sunday morning. So think about that. I got home Sunday night in Phoenix. I left on a plane Monday morning to go to Tulsa. And I was asked to speak for the Lymphoma Leukemia Society.
Wow.
at the Cancer Treatment Center America, I'm just totally spent, but I didn't, you know, they're like, is that too close? I'm like, you know, it's fine. If I can get there, I'll get there. And I went ahead and did a little PowerPoint and talked. And what I'm getting at is some of the things that I do, you know, and try to help others is, you know, I speak or I attend different events. But in November, I'm going to be in San Diego at a conference, and TomoTherapy has asked me to go down to that convention and obviously talk. But what they're going to do is pretty much every year they do a big donation thing, and they usually get about $10,000 to $15,000,
right?
And they donate it to obviously cancer research and different things like that. And they've asked me to attend. They asked me where would I want to donate, you know, the money and the proceeds.
Wow.
And I said, well, I want to obviously donate to the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society. That's, you know, what touches me the most. And they're like, absolutely, that's done deal. So I think that's a pretty cool thing. So in November, I'm going to hopefully give them a check for $15,000 or more.
Wow.
You know, hopefully save someone's life.
That is, I mean, you have me speechless. And you're the only the second person to do that, actually, on this program. Wow. That's amazing that they just ask you where you want the money to be donated.
Well, they just,
it's fantastic.
You know, I'm going down there, and they said, you know, Joe, part of what we want to do is we want to obviously, you know, show your, you know, talk about your story and this and that, but, you know, we also want you, this is going to be up to you where you want it, the money donated. We know we're going to be able to get the money because we do it every year.
Right.
And so I said, I just immediately told them, and the great thing about it was I talked about this at this event that I did at the Cancer Mr. American Tulsa. I said, you know, just to let you know, I'm going to be donating $10,000 or $15,000 to your cause in November. And I thought that was really, really great.
That's awesome. And for both of us, I think the cause is more important than, you know, either you or me.
Yeah, you know, and honestly, the first job that I did in the movie industry to get my SAG card, I actually donated. It wasn't very much money. I'm not even going to tell you how much it was, but
right.
I donated that to the Lymphoma Society just because it was something I wanted to do.
Right, exactly. I mean, that's why when I do different events and stuff, it's just like, just tell me when to show up. Actually, for the empowerment rally, I'm leaving that Friday night and doing going to an event that Saturday morning. So,
well, I don't know how much time I have, but I wanted to share something with you and
yes,
everyone else.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
It was pretty cool. I was at the Cancer Treatment Center America here in Arizona for, oh my God, I can't remember.
Chemo Brain.
Here comes the Chemo Brain. But it was for four people that got the, you know, 5-year mark, and mm-hmm. they get their name on the leaf, and I wish I could tell you more about it, but I can't remember the name of it for some reason. It's lost. But regardless, it was a huge event. Mr. Stevenson was there. I mean, all the top people from the Cancer Mr. America. It was amazing. I've heard about it, and I can't wait to hit that 5-year mark myself and get my name on the leaf. But, you know, Teresa and I was asked to attend, and I just was blown away by it. And afterwards, I was asked to go up to infusion, and I've done this several times, and just talk to some patients if they're even willing to talk. You know,
right.
I know some people are just like, you know, leave me alone, this and that. But I went into some girl's room. She was probably 35 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I went in there with someone from the CTCA. And
right.
They asked if I could just say a few words. And she was okay. She's sitting in bed, you know. She was dealing with breast cancer. And her husband was sitting next to her in the, you know, in a chair. And her mom was sitting next to him. And I said, I just have a few words. You can take it or leave it. Just hear me out, and, you know, and they're like, no, that's okay. And they could, I mean, very, very, very hard to talk to because it was just very uncomfortable.
Right,
and
right.
Usually it's a little bit more comfortable, but it was very uncomfortable for me. And I was just about ready to say, you know, I'm sorry to bother you. But I didn't, and I'm glad I didn't. But the good thing was is I looked at her and I said, I noticed you have a Starbucks Frappuccino right in front of you with whipped cream and caramel and all that stuff. That tastes pretty good, doesn't it? She's like, well, yeah, it tastes really good. I said, so are you going through chemo right now? She goes, yes, I am. I said, and I said, hmm. I looked at her mom and her husband. I said, you see that Frappuccino sitting on her, you know, right next to her? And they're like, well, yeah. I said, you need to make sure she doesn't have that anymore.
Right.
And they looked at me like, are you kidding me? Like, that makes her feel good. you know, that's what she wants. We want her to feel good. And I said, I understand that. But sugar is bad for cancer.
Right.
And I said, I didn't have any sugar at all, not even anything made with sugar, even close to sugar, while I was going through treatment. And trust me, it helped. It helped me get through it. And so what I was getting at was, I'm like, listen, you need to, I know it's going to make her feel good, but you need to say no. And I looked at the girl and I said, you need to make sure when they say no, you're okay with that. And you understand why they're saying no. It was a weird dynamic, but it was very to the point. And she kind of pushed the drink away. She's like, you know what, I appreciate that. And she probably, you know, her mom and her husband would never have done that because
yeah, right.
So good. But she needed to hear it from me where this is real. You know, this is, if you want to, you know, save your life, you need to listen, you know, to get to people that have gone through it. And there's things that are going to help you and things that are going to hurt you. And sugar is not going to help you.
I know. And I'm guilty of that, too, because I enjoy my morning coffee and you're right.
Well, and I'm not, I'm just saying people that are actually going through treatment, that, you know, and honestly, I'm not any, I mean, I love coffee, but to be honest with you, I didn't have any sugar for
five months.
I mean, I just didn't. And it was just, it made me feel better, I'm sure, with all the other things I was taking on, you know, I was very, very on the natural side. It's so important. But, you know, and I just said a few other things to her, and I just said, oh, one other thing I told her, I said, every single day, however you feel, I looked at her husband and her mom. I said, you guys need to make a journal.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I said, I have a three and a half inch journal sitting, you know, with all the information. My wife, every single day, she wrote how I felt and what I was taking and what made me feel good and what didn't make me feel good. And it's a great thing to
it is.
A reference guide. And she's like, wow, that's a great idea. And, you know, later on that day, you know, she said thanks and all that. Later on that day, I got a Facebook message from her husband. And he's like, you know, Joe, you pretty much changed the way she's looking at cancer, and it brightened her day. I'm like,
wow.
Really? It was really cool. It made me feel really good.
Well, that's awesome, because I know what you're saying. Like, when the doctors say it, you're just like, yeah, whatever. I can't have sugar. I shouldn't have processed foods. But then when somebody else like you comes in and says, hey, look, I beat it, and I didn't have sugar, and I always say check with your doctor for all this stuff. I mean, that totally makes a world of difference.
Well, you know, I can tell you right now, Teresa's done so much research over the years, especially when I was going through treatment, before I went through treatment,
right.
On what, you know, I mean, she's very much into the natural side of things, too, but she simply said, you are not having any sugar, and that's it. And so as much as I wanted sugar, I wasn't going to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I started to go through treatment, I didn't even want it. I mean, it wasn't something I even, you know, it's amazing how you don't even have a craving for things when you're not around it anymore.
Exactly. Exactly. But, and it's, you know, it's a lifestyle change too. If you have to change the way you eat and start exercising, which I hope all of our listeners are exercising, then you have to do it because you only get one turn around this globe. So,
like I said, I could talk for forever because I'm a very talkative person. But, you know, I got hooked up with a company, and it's a company called Hammer Nutrition. I'm not sure if anyone has ever heard of them, but they're very, very top, high-end when it comes to triathlon type of food, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're running a triathlon or you're doing something major endurance type of racing, this is the company you want to get with because they've got amazing things to get you through what you need to get through. And I take a couple, many different things from them. And I, when I race in the Baja, I've got water in one of my tubes coming, you know, right where my mouth is. And I've got another tube of food and it's carbs and all the different things, but it's made for endurance racers and triathletes and things like that. And I can't tell you how good I felt at the end of the race, every race. I'm like, I feel good. And the reason is and because I've got to be focused when I'm not just driving in the bar, I'm racing. So I have to be so focused and so on my game, and fatigue sets in after, you know, the 10th hour.
Right.
And if you don't have this food coming in constantly, you're going to fade and you're going to make a mistake and you're going to get hurt. And so I guess my point is that's how important, you know,
good nutrition is, exactly.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to say. That's how important nutrition is. And, And I think it's a huge advantage for me. You know, I do race all the races myself. I was in the racetrack for 20 hours. It should have taken me 15, but we just had, you know, we've had flat tires. We had suspension issues. That's racing. I mean, it's not always going to be a perfect day. But let me tell you, if I didn't have the nutrition, I would have been in a world of hurt.
Exactly, and exercise. For cancer
exactly.
patients.
I mean, I train really hard going into a race. You know, I definitely like to take a break after. But, you know, I like to run. I feel good. Obviously anyone that does work out or trains, you know, you can't, it's a natural high. You can't.
Even just walk if you need just exercise. Walk around the block. Just, you know, start baby steps, as they say. Start small.
Or have a 9-year-old, and that'll keep you really.
There you go. Well, I'm not going to go that far, Joe, but I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just saying, those kids run, they're all over the place, so you got to keep chasing down.
Well, Joe, this has been great. If people want to get a hold of you and talk to you, where can they do so?
We have Control Amid Chaos, which is you know, we've got about 5,000 people following us on our webpage. It's a great place to talk about cancer. Ask any question you want. We've got some great, support on that.
And that's on Facebook.
It's just an awesome place, as you know, Mel. I mean,
yes.
You're probably our biggest fan, which I appreciate very much.
I am.
And, you can go ahead and, look for me on my personal page, which is just Joe Bacall, on Facebook. Also, my company is jtgray.com. It's my performance driving company. You're more than welcome to take a look at, the website. We've got some great stuff on there. We've always got the updated races. Anyone that ever wants to learn how to drive off-road, I've got 3 FJ Cruisers that are all tricked out that I take people up in the mountains, teach them how to winch, strap. I mean, it's super fun, a great time. You learn a bunch of stuff. And, that's what I do on the side, part of my company as well. So,
excellent. That's awesome. And I hope that a lot of people will get into Baja racing because, like I said, I saw a NASCAR race and, besides the other drivers, I think you could take them. All left turns, whatever.
Well, we were on 2 episodes on Baja Unlimited, which is on the Outdoor Channel, and they just had another one last night. So they're on Monday nights, or they're on Mondays, actually. Look for that. It's called Baja Unlimited. The two shows we're on is other classes, and I think it's Heroic Performances, which shows our truck. We've got interviews. It's really, really great thing. And then, the NBC does footage of the Baja 1000, which we were in last year. So it's maybe not for everyone, but it is definitely an exciting sport, and it's definitely fun to watch.
We're grateful that you shared your time with us. I'm going to wrap it up. This is Mel Majoros. I am a Facebook junkie. As you know, you can always find me on Facebook at Mel Majoros, or you can become a fan of the show, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. You can check out my blogspot, thecancerwarrior.blogspot.com. And you know what? Life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.